What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
I love lamp.
And we're here with this week's episode of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. Start off really quickly, Bright Side Night, just another plug, got to plug it. January 14th, playing the Pacers, $9 per ticket to send an underprivileged kid to the Suns game. So go ahead and make those donations, and 10 tickets gets you tickets to the game. First 25 people get to do the Q&A with McDonough, all that fun stuff like we've talked about before. All right, that's done. Moving on.
Do it.
We will do it. So Suns went 2-2 since the last time we recorded. Beat Minnesota, which was a good win over another young team.
And they're a team that was expected to make the leap because they made those they made a couple trades and signings that brought in those vets that they expected to kind of shore up and bring them together to make that next step to kind of get into the playoffs.
Yep, they brought in Butler. They brought in Jeff Teague. Taj Gibson, that's right. Forgot about
Taj Gibson was annoying me in that game. He kept like getting the garbage buckets.
I feel like not that I'm going to say I've watched like a whole lot of Taj Gibson over his career, but I kind of feel like that's what he does. Yeah,
it is what he does. Yeah. But it's annoying when it's like he just gets this random rebound and puts it back in.
Mostly just annoying when it's against the Suns, I would say. Yeah. But yes, so we had that game, Lakers game, first game against the Lakers this week. It's weird schedule this year with we've played them. Three times in the first, 20 or so games?
Yeah, we're probably not going to play them until, the last game of the season.
Yeah, right, exactly. Good job, NBA. Way to come up with that one. But they lost that game. Then we had the Rockets game. We'll talk about these in a little more detail as we move on. But just a quick recap. Rockets game, which was high scoring. We'll just call it that. They lost that game. They lost that game really in the first quarter, frankly. It was pretty much over by that point. But I'll say it was still entertaining. I was entertained by that game. And then finished off the week, at least before our recording here, by beating the Lakers, which is always nice. You love beating the Lakers. Can never get enough of beating the Lakers. Can never get enough of Lonzo Ball being benched in the fourth quarter and shooting like one for nothing. Well, that would be impossible. But, he's shooting.
One for a lot.
Yeah, he's shooting what, like 30%? If that, no, he's less than 30%, I think, this year from the field. But at any rate.
That's an awesome number two pick right there. He got a haircut, so maybe new you.
Yeah, it didn't work. No. He was better in the second game against the Suns this week than he was in the first game.
He got a nice 666 line, that little devil line right there.
The devil line. He didn't get benched all fourth quarter of that game, so maybe
he walked to the bench.
Yes, that's right. During a little skirmish, that was something else. Let's just talk about that real quick. We'll just flow right into that. We'll go backwards in talking about the games. So that was the second skirmish the Suns had this week.
Yeah.
Second skirmish involving the Lakers, too. Because during that first game, when Booker went from the Suns side of the court all the way to the Laker bench because one of the coaches was talking to him. But this one seemed a little more involved, at least in that you had Josh Jackson
running from
God, dude, don't do that when you're on the Suns. Haven't we had enough of people coming off the bench and doing things? But technically, it was during a timeout because the timeout had just been called.
I don't think he came off the bench. He just came
I thought he was. I thought. Oh, was he? I thought he was on the bench.
I think he was. He was on the. I'm pretty sure he was on the court. He just came from. They'd be making a more big deal about it because he.
Well, there was a timeout called, so technically,
still doesn't matter. You come off the bench, you're
people come off the bench during timeouts all the time.
CJ McCollum didn't play in the opening game because he came off the bench in a preseason game
during a timeout.
I don't remember.
All right, we'll move on. So that was kind of one of those situations, though, for Lonzo Ball being the person that he is in terms of, what's the word I'm looking for? Polarizing.
Yes.
Very polarizing. If he walks away, obviously he gets tons of crap that he doesn't stand up for his teammates and doesn't care and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But had he got involved, and it's like Lonzo Ball's in a fight.
There's the third option that nobody's really talking about.
Kind of stand close by but don't do anything?
No, go in there and be actively trying to break it up. Keep pulling guys out of it. You're involved in the skirmish, but you're not the one escalating the skirmish. You're trying to de-escalate it. Which, there's always that guy. Grant Hill was a guy like that. He would run into that skirmish to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Lonzo Ball's I don't care. I'm going to walk this way.
He's like, nope.
Yeah.
Tons of nopes. Not doing this. Well, whatever. I don't not like Lonzo Ball. I don't like Lonzo Ball's dad. And I think that's pretty much where everybody stands. Poor kid gets the flack because of that. So I'm going to say, let's just let this one go. Let it pass. Yeah. He just wanted to. Maybe he has like some crazy bad temper that we don't know about. He knew if he got involved, then you know fists were gonna fly. So he did the
he keeps a knife the in his responsible sock just
he's got a shiv. He did the responsible thing, decided to step back and just remove himself from the situation. I don't know. So okay, since you want to talk more about Lonzo Ball not fighting, okay. Good. That was more than enough.
Do we want to talk about his shot compared to Booker's shot?
You can. Yeah, go for it.
There was a nice side-by-side comparison that was done. I believe Kenny over at TNT.
No, it was Eddie Johnson.
Eddie Johnson. Okay, my bad.
Kenny.
I was thinking that Kenny was on Smith the big
Smith just
board
getting all sorts of, yeah. sorts of credit for nothing.
But just the way they're just set up and how Booker's is just perfectly, like, immaculate of a structure, whereas Lonzo Ball's is just looks like a rec league shot.
That was like a well painted picture, Paul. Like perfectly well structured. I didn't know what you said. You said something about a structure. Yeah, no. And it was one of those things. Like I watched. I'm a U of A guy, so I watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball. So I watched a lot of Lonzo Ball last year. And obviously, just being a basketball fan in general, I think everybody that is a basketball fan watched a lot of Lonzo Ball last year at UCLA, and he made shots. And I knew that he took the ball across his body and shot from kind of the right side of his head. I just had no idea it was like that extreme. Eddie Johnson pointed out his feet pointing like pretty much to the sideline, which is nuts. Yeah. I don't understand how that didn't get more discussion during the whole draft process. And Josh Jackson's just getting crapped on left and right. And maybe I'm a little biased because everyone knows I love Josh Jackson. But still, it's one of those shots that obviously he has the ability to make it, but apparently that ability ended at college because it just hasn't been happening in the NBA. But we'll see. I mean, right. He's early in his career. I think he'll ultimately end up being fine. I hope as a Suns fan he's not. He just sucks and it's horrible and the Lakers, you know, are terrible. Yeah. But, you know, we'll see. Who's come a long way too, I feel like, since last year is Brandon Ingram.
He definitely did. I mean, we saw it when we were out there for Summer League. I mean, he was really active. I mean, granted, I don't think he was in the game that long, just because I think he got like slight tweak.
I don't remember.
I think he got like a slight tweak to his ankle, and they pulled him out for the rest of Summer League.
That makes sense.
He looked way better. He just needs a new haircut.
He has like this is going to sound strange, so brace yourself. But he has like the weirdest body.
Yeah, it is. It is oddly shaped,
and I don't know what to make. Like, I can't describe why it's weird. It's just weird. Maybe it's because his shoulders are, like, straight. Pointed. But, yeah, they're, like, there's
they're
no...
like, up.
He apparently does zero shrugs in the gym. Like, none. No shrugs, no overhead.
I think his shoulders are up really high because he's got, like, a short neck, maybe.
All right.
And just really long arms.
I'm going to move us on from... He does have very long arms. Move us on from breaking down Brandon Ingram's body. We're not body shaming. It obviously works well for him. Let's talk about the Suns.
This is an early comment of ours when we first started this. That we
stopped talking about everything else under the sun besides the Suns. Okay. So we'll move off that Lakers game. Let's talk about that Rockets game. Because, wow, that Rockets game was something else. And when I say that, I mean, like, wow, the points, 90 points given up in the first half. That's a lot of points. They give what it was. Did they do 45 and 45 in the first two quarters? I think they did. I think the Rockets scored 45 in the first, but
it was a lot.
That was one of those games. Okay, you can very easily look at that game and be like, "Oh my God, that was horrible. The Suns' defense was horrible." Blah blah blah. But I looked at that game and thought, "There's actually positives to take out of this." And if you ever told me that I watch a Suns game where they gave up 90 points and a half and 142, I think it was overall, and lost by 26, 28, whatever it was. And I would take positives out of it. I would say you're crazy. But
when you got a young team and you're looking for them to grow.
And the offense looked good in that game. And that was the game where we started this narrative now about the possibility of the Suns starting to run Booker at the point guard a lot more.
Yeah.
And Paul, I'll let you chat a little bit. Do you have thoughts on running Booker at the point guard? Or if you don't, then I'll just keep going. But
he's definitely shown an improvement this season in his distribution, which is something that, you know, a lot of national pundits would harp on Booker about, that he was just a scorer.
Volume shooter. Make players around him better, blah, blah, blah. Hey, national pundits, stop not paying attention to the Suns basketball and just saying stuff.
And saying, like, oh, he doesn't play defense, but it's... And it was like, okay, he needs to add other skills to his game. The defense is coming along. He's never going to be a great defender. Well, actually, never say never.
Prove us wrong.
Never say never, but it's not expected based on his physical gifts that he's not really structured well to be a great defender. But he has shown other scoring skills, and also clearly he's starting to show some pretty solid distribution skills. And so I really like it. I don't think they can run it full time. And I think Triano doesn't really want to do it either, because just the focus of that is put on Booker as it is,
right,
to literally make him the point guard as well. It's just going to wear him out, and you might see a regression on that defensive side.
Mm.
So I can see it. I can definitely see it in spurts and maybe even in crunch time, just because, I mean, Mike James and Tyler Ulis really aren't crunch time players.
And they're not going to, I mean, I like both those players, but they're both not going to rise at any point, I don't think, to the caliber of point guard that you want leading an NBA team. Starting for an NBA team that you expect to compete, improve, and make into the playoffs, win a championship.
There's a reason Mike James is an almost 30-year-old rookie.
Sure. And I'll say, and you can go back and listen to the tapes if you would like, but you and I were both saying towards the end of last year that Booker's playmaking ability was coming along nicely, and that if he continued to improve that he could really turn into this all-around player that we want him to be. And we're seeing it now really start to come to fruition, and it's only going to improve more and more. And, I mean, he's been scoring in an incredibly efficient manner.
Yeah, over 30 in, like, what did I say, four of the last six games?
Something like that.
Which, and the one of the two he didn't, he got 10 assists.
Right, and I know his true shooting percentage is up there. I mean, basically when you break down his efficiency from the offensive end this year, he's right up there with some of the, you know, top guys in the league. The LeBrons, I don't like LeBron, but the LeBrons, the Currys, the Hardens, those guys. And I mean, again, back to the national pundits saying, is he really going to be superstar material? Yes.
Actually, I was actually scrolling through Twitter today. Chris Hansen, one of the guys who's in kind of in Suns Twitter,
Not that Chris Hansen.
I don't think so.
Maybe he's a Suns fan. I'd be concerned if he's putting too much focus on.
But
on
Booker. He had a thread of a bunch of statistics on Booker and just kind of how he really is making that leap and really becoming that superstar caliber player. I mean, do we really need to start considering, does he actually have a shot at an All-Star bid this year? I mean, when you're looking at the Western Conference from a guard perspective, there's three of them come to mind with Curry, Thompson, and Harden.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul is probably going to get it off of name recognition, but, you know.
Lillard.
Lillard never makes it. He's good enough, but he's actually having kind of a down year a little bit. So, I mean, there's guys there, but, I mean, with the stats that Booker's starting to put up, he is a top four guard in the Western – in the league right now, arguably, from a statistical measure. So, you kind of got to put him in the conversation.
Yeah, and if he keeps doing what he's doing right now, I mean, and he doesn't make the All-Star game, that's just highway robbery.
That's just Suns bias. That's just Sarver bias.
It goes that far? Like,
it's that far.
Other coaches who vote on reserves are going to not vote him in because they don't like Sarver?
I don't know. Hopefully we don't run into a situation like with Dragic a couple years back where Tony Parker was just a jackass and could have sat out for injury and just stole $1 million from Booker or from Dragic. I'm still furious about that one.
I'm furious about everything the Spurs do, pretty much. So,
I don't know. Popping Kerr for president 2020.
That, it pains me to think that I would actually, I'd totally support that. But I can at least fall back on Kerr being a U of A guy. So I'm all in there. Let's do it. I'll say I tend to agree with you in terms of the Booker thing. As far as him, you know, we can't make him the full-time point guard.
Right.
Situationally, great. I think that works. But then, you know, we get to the point, too, where we have to start thinking about where we're going to go with point guard in the future. Because if we're not going to commit and say, well, we want Booker to be the point guard, which wanna, I'm totally
we're not
fine
sure
with.
He's going to go down the James Harden route that the Rockets did last year.
And then the Rockets still went out and got Chris Paul, so obviously they don't want him just being point guard either.
It could be an interesting experiment to kind of do that and then bring in a guy like a Luka Doncic, who is kind of a similar structure of, you know, kind of shooting guard but can really distribute pretty well. And
so
then
you're now admitting that he's
out.
A shooting guard, not a point guard? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they classify him somewhere in there that he can play one of
he's
the...
He's a basketball player. That's what he is. He's a player. Basketball player.
He is the next generation's better Jalen Rose.
the position on the positionless guy in the one position that's not positionless, right, Paul?
Yeah, pretty much.
Should we recap everything you said last week? Are we good? We good now?
We're good. Well, because I mean, it's not like the free agent class is great.
Yeah,
the free agent class is garbage for point guards.
For point guards, yeah, that's the
and when you go down the list of like other teams who and just try to see like. Would any of these guys be worth the Suns' time of acquiring to actually like make a meaningful impact at that position? And what teams are possibly willing to give up those guys?
Right.
There really aren't a lot of options, at least not right now.
Right.
So
we'll see what develops through the year too, because people become unhappy with their situation.
Can always get another Kyrie trade.
Yeah, you know, hindsight, 50-50. What, 2020? Definitely not 50-50.
Yeah,
that's one thing now that you kind of look back and it was like, well, we don't really need Kyrie. Well, we want to get Kyrie for that now. And now it's like, but, you know.
I don't know. Putting him under Watson, I don't know if he'd be, like, reaching his full potential
who?
The way he is. Yeah.
Who?
I don't remember.
Okay, just checking.
Greg Watson.
Greg Watson, yeah. And Earl Monroe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Earl Monroe. no, I know. I was like, that was on purpose, Paul.
I'm a little
cool.
slow tonight.
I'm happy you caught up.
Let's
talk about Greg Monroe.
Let's talk about Greg.
Moose, as I've learned he's called.
Yeah.
That's a sweet nickname.
It's a great nickname.
It's a badass nickname. And
keep
like,
around just
it,
a nickname.
It seems very fitting. Like, I look at him, I'm like, yeah, it fits. So it makes a lot of sense. His first game with the Suns was, I mean, productive is an understatement. He had a very solid first game. And as I say that, I'm scrambling to
Granted,
find
it
the
was
stats.
In the Rockets.
It was in the Rockets game where apparently, like, nobody played defense because... You know, we talk about the Rockets putting up 142 and scoring, you know, 90 in the first half. The Suns scored 65 in the first half and put up 116. It's not like they did nothing. And neither team was really – well, I guess Harden was still in there pretty late into the game. But the you know, that fourth quarter wasn't nearly as explosive as any of the first three. Well, the third quarter wasn't really that explosive either. So let me stop talking myself out of my point. But back to Greg Monroe – he went 10 for 14 with 20 points and 11 rebounds that game. Now, his second game with the Lakers, which was, you know, on the second night of a back-to-back, and he's coming off of injury. It's his first real action in quite a while was that Rockets game. So him not playing as well in that game, and plus, you know, Tyson was back as well, isn't all that surprising. But in that Rockets game, Monroe gave us flashes, showed us what he's still capable of doing. Which kind of gets back to what we talked about last week, what they were going to do with Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had said I thought they were going to release him, and I'm definitely happy they didn't because that's just, you know, he's still a tradable asset if you're so inclined to go that way. So why not give him a chance to show what he can do? And that's what they're obviously starting to do. My dog is sleeping and is snoring really loudly. and I think that him coming in, showing that right off the bat, and if he can kind of, you know, even if it's not to that degree, but still show that he has that ability to score, to rebound, which
right.
he does. He's not useless like some of us think.
No, he's not. he's not useless. That was an overstatement.
I think that's two retractions right now on this episode.
I've retracted
from last week's.
A lot okay. in the year that we've been podcasting.
Fair enough. So he becomes a piece then that you can look to move if you're so inclined towards that trade deadline when teams that are in it for the stretch run are looking for somebody who can maybe be a good backup center that can bring some offensive ability, that can bring some rebounding, and can, you know, help push them over the hump. So, you know, I think the Suns did the right thing by not releasing him, and I'm pretty sure everyone in, you know, Suns universe is going to agree with that.
I mean, from an offensive perspective, he balances the team out a little bit more, having that, like, an extra reasonably reliable front court scorer. Because really the front court right now is, you know, the front court previous to him joining the team was like Len and Chandler, and neither of those were reliable scorers. And, you know, Bender and Chris, who are both rookies, also not reliable scorers yet. Mm. So having to rely as much as they do on TJ and Booker, you know, they can't put up 35 each every night.
Right. Clearly. Like they did in the Minnesota game.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll step back. I was wrong. Chandler was not back in that second Laker game. I was looking at the wrong box score. But nonetheless, Monroe still wasn't as effective as he was in his first game. Again, second night back-to-back, not that surprising. But Mr. Alex Len also had quite the evening against the Lakers in that second game this week. 17 points, 18 rebounds, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, I think Toronto still is following the follow the hot hand philosophy. Sure. And Len was playing really well, so he let him stay in. You know, he got 27 minutes that night, so versus 16 for Greg. I mean, obviously, you know, tired legs for Greg playing the previous night. But you know, Len was going off, so let him run with it.
And I'm totally for that. I mean, play the hot hand, absolutely, especially when you've got guys like this that are this young. If they're starting to roll, you know, that's going to get their confidence going. You don't want to negate that. You don't want to pull that back in any sort of way, because you know these kids, as they're developing, which even though Len's been in the league for what, like 13 years now,
I don't know. He still can't grow a beard, so he's pretty young.
Okay. Yes, that's true. I don't know that even when he's in the league for 13 years, he's going to really grow a beard, though.
This is true. Yeah.
So, you know, you hit a certain age. Guys. Trust me, I know if you don't grow a beard by a certain age, you're not going to be able to grow a beard.
You think, but there's this, like, that Eastern European, like, heritage that's very heavy in the facial hair and the genes, so.
Who knows? Well, maybe he'll be a late bloomer in that regard. Kind of like he's been a bit of a late bloomer here with the Suns. So, yeah, I mean, you got to ride that hot hand, and especially a guy like Len, who's been inconsistent over his 4 years, is it, right, with the Suns?
This is fourth
year.
Fifth.
Is it fifth year?
Yeah.
Well, so it's 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Fifth, and going to the fifth. With the Suns, you want him to continue to kind of ride that wave of confidence. So I'm all definitely for that, regardless of who it is. I mean, whoever the player might be on a given night that has a hot hand, ride it.
Exactly.
Means.
Yeah. And I mean, and we also starting to see more consistent flashes from some of the other guys. I mean, like they still make dumb mistakes, but we're seeing flashes from Bender, and I mean, I really love that defensive duo of Bender and Len. They just like literally swallow guys up under the basket without fouling, and it's kind of amazing to watch because with the length they have, that they. Bender will get a guy to go baseline, and then Len's just right there, standing there, and then Bender gets on the other side of him, and he's got nothing
right.
to do.
And they're starting to learn, like, when you're that tall and that long,
you don't need to jump.
You don't need to jump, and you don't need to put your arms forward even a degree. Just put them straight up.
Can't do much.
You'll probably still get called for fouls because the NBA referees are horrible, but you'll be less likely to get called for fouls. So speaking of Bender,
yeah,
you brought up this idea before we started recording, so I'll let you share your thoughts on it.
Yeah,
Bender,
I mean,
can I tell you what the idea is first, or at least tell the people listening what the idea is first? They're not in your head.
I want to tell them what the idea is.
Oh, okay.
But no, you can. No, you are the you the run the ship.
Quote unquote host.
Yeah.
I don't like that. We're like co-host, so. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out.
We get the real words for
I'm the yapper. Like call me the yapper.
You're the play-by-play guy.
You're the color guy. Okay, that's fair. So, should Dragan Bender be starting over Marquese Chris? And that's all I'll say. You go.
I mean, I'm wondering if it's starting to get to that point because Chris has really regressed this year. I mean, he's putting up like 6 points a game, a little over 6 points a game, and like I think 4.5 rebounds. But I mean, Bender's numbers aren't that much better. The raw numbers, like the counting numbers, but he just is affecting the game so much more when he's on the floor, where Chris is just kind of out there, like flopping around, just not really sure what's going on and what he's doing. I don't know if it would give him a kick in the ass to kind of get himself in line, because I think part of the reason they've kept him in the starting lineup is he says he's not comfortable coming off the bench, and Bender seems to not care.
Right.
So I mean, maybe if Chris is the first yank and Bender's in there pretty quickly, but I know they kind of like to start balancing that Booker Warren. So Warren tends to be the first yank to get Jackson in, but
to keep your main offensive weapons really on the court, whether it's together or apart, as much as possible,
at all times. But Bender's just really starting to show me a lot that those flash. The more time he can get on the court, particularly with the starters, the more those flashes will turn into consistency and just become that's what his game is. I mean, he may never be a high stats guy, but I think he just, on so many levels, affects the flow of a game.
And this is, it's not completely unrelated, but I'm looking at Bender's profile on ESPN.com, and his picture, he's got like, do you ever watch wrestling?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't need to watch wrestling to know who The Rock is.
Yeah.
He's got like the people's eyebrow thing going on, like in his picture. It's awesome. I think I should start him just for that reason. So, okay, well, you didn't really answer the question though. So, should he be, let's say right now, should Bender start over Chris as we sit here today? Next game,
I'd like
tomorrow
to see him
against the Bulls.
I'd like to see him experiment with it for a little bit. You know, give it 2 weeks. See how it changes things. See if maybe it gives Chris the kick in the ass he needs. Mm-hmm. Maybe, or it gives Bender kind of earns the right, because he's kind of earning a shot now, and then given the opportunity to see if he can earn the right to keep it. So that's just my position on it, is give him a shot and see what happens.
Right, and what's interesting is overall this year Bender is actually averaging more minutes a game than Chris is, which I guess isn't really that surprising. Now, as I think back watching games, it seems like
Chris also gets fouls a lot. So
that's true. And at the same time, I was going to say, like, I feel like I remember seeing Bender on the floor more, but then at the same time, it's like, well, that goes back to your point about him having more impact. So you probably also notice him more on the court at any given time. So what do you think, though, by the end of the year, do you think that Bender will take over that starting position?
I want to hope so, because I think he deserves it at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, because I'm, you know, sometimes there are guys who start because they're better starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a complimentary player who it doesn't really matter. So you get, and if Chris would regress even further if he went to the bench, it might almost be worth it to keep him starting, just from the standpoint of he's semi-productive versus being completely unproductive.
Right. And you know, Bender could eventually be one of those guys. I mean, obviously we've talked about like this before on the pod. There have been a lot of guys in the NBA that have made great careers out of being the first guy off that bench. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Odom. Jamal Crawford comes to mind.
That
guy in San Antonio whose name I won't say because I don't like him. But you might have just said it. So, yeah, you know, we'll see how that progresses throughout the year. I mean, what I think we can all agree on right now is the Suns are very much a work in progress. There's moving parts. Things, you know, Triano's still getting, you know, he's still becoming the head coach.
Right. I think he was quoted recently saying that basically, yeah, our practices are training camp right now.
Yeah. He was like the first 2 months of me being head coach is like going through training camp.
Yeah.
So.
Tells you a lot about what happened to training camp. It's like, a lot of soul cycle classes.
Soul cycle, yoga, hugs, which is fine. I'm a hugger. I don't mind it, but
cuddle sessions.
Maybe got to mix a little basketball in there every now and then. Oh, Earl Watson, bless your soul. He seems like such a nice guy.
Apparently he's re-enrolled at UCLA.
Hey, why not? He's got some free time on his hands. He's got money coming in the door. Man, can I get a head coaching job for just, I'll do it for like, just let me sign like a 2-year contract. I'll come in for like 4 games and fire me and just pay me. You don't need to pay me as much. I'll take like a half of what he's making. I don't know what that was, but I assume that's more than I make, but maybe not. He was very low paid. So anyway, moving on to what? I don't know. We kind of hit on the topics we wanted to chat about. Any other thoughts from you, Paul, about anything Suns related?
I'm just, as I said before, I'm liking where the season's going. They're being, you know, they're third in the Western, in the Pacific Division right now, just like half a game behind the Lakers. Granted, 4 of those teams have losing records, but it's kind of interesting to see that they're not the worst team in the division. They're not even the second worst team in the division. So it's good to see that improvement And hopefully we'll see that grow and that consistency and maybe be able to see that next that jump next year as well.
Hey, and they're only 2 games out of the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, 15 games in, but whatever.
Whatever. You know, hey, it's close.
That's less than I would have thought.
Yeah.
It was positive thinking. Positive thinking. Yeah, no, I mean, excuse me, I tweeted this out last night. I mean, we're not going to win a lot of games this year, but God, I really love this team. Like, I love this team.
Yeah, it's loved a Suns team.
Like, if we'd have been doing this like 3-4 years ago, I'd be like, so.
Meaning the like the Scully year.
So let's talk about the Morris twins, who they beat up this week. I mean, it's great having this direction, or at least it looks like we have direction. Hopefully, we stay on this in this direction, and
never guarantee that.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows. But you know, we'll see where the future takes us.
Yeah, they've got an interesting next four. Could be interesting to see with
I know they have the Bulls tomorrow night. Bulls, recording on a Saturday. Pull back the curtain.
Bulls, Bucks, Pelicans, Timberwolves.
Is the Bucks game here?
Yeah.
The return of my friend Eric.
The return of Eric,
who has been putting up like horrible stats. He's like Lonzo Ball shooting territory since the trade.
Well, you know, he's rusty.
Yeah, he doesn't care about basketball in God knows how long. So, you know, Bledsoe, I mean, we've seen what he can do. I'm sure he'll end up being fine. I still think that was a good move for the Bucks. But the more he doesn't produce, the better.
Maybe focusing more on the defensive end now that it matters.
Yeah, I mean, he has some guy there that's pretty good at scoring the ball.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Some Greek guy. You know, maybe
shooters.
Maybe you guys up there have heard of him. I'm not sure. So, all right. Well,
it's not like his coach was that great of a shooter until way later in his career anyway.
There you go. See, you're just pulling out all sorts of ideas, Paul. Well done. So, I guess then, at this particular juncture in time, we'll just say Brightside Night, January, what did I say, 16th? Is that right? Yes, that is right. Yeah. Hold on. 14th, sorry, my bad, against the Pacers. Excuse me, make those donations. I'm sorry if I'm, like, out of breath today. I hiked Kennebec Mountain, and I haven't hiked in, like, 10 years. It seemed like a really, it feels like right now, like, a really bad idea for me to jump in and do that, but... A little gassed here today. I finished 6 hours ago. Yeah, still here I am. Just like, oh my God. So, that being said, a little glimpse into my life. Until next time, which might be next week. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. I don't know if we'll have it. I'm going to be in Texas somewhere, somewhere like down by the border. I'm not sure where. If I come back, hopefully I will. We'll record, but you know, we'll see.
Don't go to Juarez.
Okay, I'll try not to. I'll do my best. So, until next time, whenever that might be. Thank you for listening, and as always, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
Crayons taste like purple.